Sim's getting impatient.
No, I'm not getting impatient. I was just taking a look at it. No, I was. I wasn't getting impatient.
Ask us if we want the Vindaloo.
Do you?
No, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done.
Come on.
I might have to retire this.
What about what about, will you please say that samosas are very fattening?
Samosas are very fattening. It's deep fried. Are you kidding me? Why would you put that shit in your mouth?
But they're so good.
They are good, though. They are. Mm. Yeah.
Who's this character's name that works on our boat for the Golden Girls?
What?
This is the character.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so he's an Indian butler.
Yeah.
Which, do they have butlers in India?
I'm sure, yes.
No, we're in the Florida Keys.
But, I don't know if they have any Indian butlers in the Florida Keys, but apparently there's one.
So he's an Indian immigrant who moved here and became a butler here.
He owned a used car dealership.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for the Korean car that went out of the Kia or something.
Kia is still in business. But,
okay, well, when we make the show, it won't be.
It won't be.
Okay,
gotcha. It's going to be like 30 years from now.
Right. I can't wait. All right, I'm in. 30 years from
Who
now.
Who am I? Can I be like the dumb slutty? Wait, no. Well,
you're a golden girl.
You were kind of like B. Arthur / Estelle Getting It Up. You were like, ugh, shut up, the teacher's dancing.
Oh, God. Who's going to fucking change the light bulbs around here? Because back in the future, we'll be able to say fuck all the time.
Oh, God. Oh, those days.
Okay, you know what? Wait, what's your character's name?
Well, you why don't you name me since you've decided to invent this character? What about it shouldn't be a typical Indian name.
No, it should be like Max.
Yeah, Max.
But I'm thinking of Max.
Did you empty the gray water?
Is that a yacht thing?
Well, I think it's like sort of either a mobile home.
Oh, it's like the wastewater?
Right.
Oh, gross.
I do everything on this boat, apparently. Yeah.
Max, where's the free-range chicken?
I was going to say it's in the tandoor, which is like a clay oven that they use in India to make tandoori chicken.
Delicious. Thank you, Max. That's exactly where it should be.
Good.
Good job for once. You're like the Amelia Bedelia of the Florida
Keys.
We've
lost all of our Indian listeners. Every single one of them. And they're going to think I'm like is there such thing as an Indian Uncle Tom? I have no idea.
No clue. I'm not qualified to answer any of your rhetorical questions. I'm just going to sit here and dream of tandoori chicken because that sounds delicious right now. I think I'd be the Betty White.
You would be?
Yeah.
I think I'll be the kind of...
Hey, you're sort of pulling the rug right from under me, huh?
Yeah.
I guess you steal all the scenes.
I think Estelle Getty stole all the scenes in that show. I mean, they were all scene stealers. Do you want to be the Betty White?
No.
You have 30 years to think about this.
Okay. All right.
You get first dibs. I'll play anyone.
Wait a minute. If we're banking on cliches.
Yeah.
Like Max... Like the dumb blonde or now gray-haired, white-haired woman.
You can still be blonde.
The slutty woman.
Yeah.
The smart, sensible woman. And the old grandma who's cracking wise.
Mm-hmm.
Cracking wise?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like I should be Estelle Getty when I say things like cracking wise. So I don't know where I was going with this.
We're going to...
Sim wants to move on. Sim, listen, we're playing in a world of stereotypes.
I realize that. I get it.
I just don't want you to be offended.
No, believe me. We're way past that.
Okay. This is called How Would You Proceed?
Okay.
Your publicist calls you and tells you that she has a huge endorsement offer for you.
Yeah.
It's a $3.8 million contract to star... In a string of Japanese commercials. I was just thinking of string. You have to do let's say five.
Yeah, great.
You will be the official ambassador for Kamada, which is a high-end adult diaper.
Yeah. Bring it up. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not comedic. It's serious.
No, but here's the thing is, I... Oh, okay. Well, because I talk about shitting a lot, so I feel like it's very on brand.
That's what we were thinking as well.
I feel like it's very on brand, but I guess my question is like, can I, in America, make jokes about like, oh yeah, I'm an adult diaper spokesperson, like,
we'll check the contract, yeah. But I think that you can.
If the contract says that I can have like a sense of humor about it, sure. In my everyday life, uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, so you're okay with the dramatic copy of Kamada?
Yeah. Right. You mean the dramatic copy that's like, I shit myself all the time?
I think the script is something like this.
Oh, wait, are you actually writing a script right
She's now? Writing a script right
She's
now.
She's actually writing a script. We had nothing prepared because she decided that...
I'm really excited. That
cause I don't think she knew that you were going to say yes. So now that you said yes to the 4.2, whatever, $3.8 million or whatever it is. So she's writing copy for you right now. So okay. You have to say this exact copy.
Great.
How close are you?
I mean, if I can do bits on it, what a dream.
But I'm thinking that I don't think you would do it for the money if it was a serious ad.
Well, it's a serious ad in Japan, but I can...
Okay. All right.
Oh, do you want me to do both voices?
I'll be whatever you want.
I'll just do both to. But is this your wait? You've written before. This isn't like your first piece of. I was saying, like, am I about to read your first piece of writing ever?
You mean I have horrible handwriting?
No, like your no. Like, have you written?
Really
have
do.
You written like plays or screenplays or anything? Like, is this your first piece of original written work that I'm reading?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Let's the original. Original Anna Faris.
Because that's pretty, it's pretty good. Mom? Yes? I think I shit myself. Honey, Kamaka. It's great.
I would love it if you would do the last line with a little bit more empathy.
Oh, uh-huh, yep. So I think I shit myself. Honey, Kamaka.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah.
I got chills.
Just sold a lot of diapers.
Worth every penny.
Just sold a lot of... I kind of want to seek that out now. I think that'd be really fun. Would you do it?
Oh, fuck yeah.
$3.8 million?
For way less.
Wait, how much would you do it for?
I mean, $200,000?
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
I don't believe you at
all. It's a great story. Again.
Okay, you do it for the story.
I like this.
What a great story.
I love this
to be like, I'm an adult diaper salesman in Japan. That's amazing.
I make love to Kim Jong-un.
All stories.
These are great stories.
Yeah.
It's all about the story.
It's all about the story.
I say words like percolate. Actually, I really do love that word. Percolate. I don't know that many three-syllable, four-syllable.
I say percolate a lot. It's I like saying it. It's like, let me mull something over. Oh, I'll percolate on it. Let me percolate on it.
I like it too because it's very descriptive.
Yeah.
Sim's bored.
No, I'm not bored. I want to know. I have a question for you.
Noise. Oh yeah, what's your question?
What do you think? Should we call some people right now? They're waiting for our call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We should.
Yes.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah?
I think I shit myself.
Oh, honey. Kamaka. I mean, it's great.
That was amazing.
I really felt like I was
such
your
a good mom.
You were such a good daughter.
But Mom, I did shit myself again. And I forgot to put my kamakas on.
Honey, come on.
Hello?
Hey, Molly?
Hi.
Anna's here, and so is Rachel Bloom. Rachel, say hi.
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 Molly, you missed something really funny, but I feel like I want to see it one more time. There is an ad or that Rachel Bloom may do for this Japanese adult diaper company. It's called Kamaka, and... Anna wrote the script
okay.
for it. So what you're about to hear right now is the actual commercial. So
okay.
Listen.
You want me? Okay.
I want you to
You
be
want
daughter.
Me to be the daughter? You'll be
yeah.
the mom?
Yeah.
Okay. Mom?
Yes?
I think I shit myself.
Honey. Kamaka. What do you think, Molly? Do we sell you on adult diapers?
I mean, it's amazing. It's gonna it's gonna sell.
I think that's going worldwide. You were a really good daughter.
Thank you.
No, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
I'm so sorry Daddy left.
I also like the insecurity of I think I shit myself. You know, when you shit yourself, you know. But like you're always covering where it's like, I think I shit myself. I don't know. Can you check?
Oh, Molly, I'm so sorry. We're having fun right now.
No, please.
But I know we have a situation to get to. Your scenario is interesting. So you've just got out of a relationship, a year and a half long relationship, and you've been out for about 4 months. And now you feel like you're in a lose-lose scenario. Tell us why you're feeling that way.
So the reason I feel that way is because when I moved to a new city for my job, I became really close with a lot of people I worked with and one person in particular in my office. And it was always kind of speculated that he had a crush on me, but, you know, we never talked about it because I was in a relationship. But since getting out of that relationship and going through some things with him, he's now told me that he wants more. And I feel like I'm in a lose-lose scenario because if I decide to do it and it goes poorly, then I lose my best friend and I lose a lot of, our lives are very interconnected. And if I don't do it, I feel like I still lose him because he's going to be so hurt that I don't want the same thing he wants.
Do you have romantic feelings for him?
I feel like that hesitation says a lot.
Yeah. If you're not into it, then...
Oh, I was so funny. I was going to say the opposite. Uh-huh. I feel like your hesitation to me said that you do.
Oh.
But I'm wrong.
Oh, interesting.
A lot.
Can you tell us a story? Tell us what happened, though. There's something happened before that. Give us a little bit of background.
Yeah. So we like I said, our lives are very interconnected. We work together. We have the same groups of friends. So we go out together a fair bit in groups or, you know, just the two of us. And after a particularly drunk brunch, we ended up kissing and I immediately felt terrible about it because I knew that it definitely meant more to him than it did to me.
Molly, who initiated the kissing?
That is an excellent question that I wish I knew the answer to.
Was it in a car?
I don't.
Were you?
She was drunk, so she doesn't remember.
No, but I just want to know like a setting.
Oh,
do you remember
where were you?
Setting?
We also live in the same apartment building, so we were in our apartment building.
Gotcha. Okay. It sounds to me like I think that Rachel's instinct was right that you're just not into this dude, and you don't know how to tell him that or like give him the signals.
So I've been. This is another aspect that Sim, I realized after talking to you yesterday that I didn't quite explain. I had told him that, you know, I feel that when you're considering entering into something more with a best friend, it's a hefty consideration just because you risk so much. And I don't think that as somebody who doesn't know wholeheartedly how I feel about them, that I can do that. And he was really, became really distant and really hurt by that. And it kind of felt like everything blew up in my face because
I don't like that quality. Sorry, go on, Molly. But I just want to flag that I don't like that quality that he was really hurt. I'll tell you about that later. But go on.
I just felt like everything I was trying to avoid by not pursuing anything and by, you know, pumping the brakes and saying, you know, I don't want to enter into a serious relationship. That's exactly what this would be. I'm not ready. I'm not at that point. I, you know, as much as I think you're a wonderful person, that's nothing I can do right now. I understand that he was hurt by that and that it was, he feels like he's been putting his feelings aside for so long and now there's an opportunity and I don't want to pursue that opportunity, but it felt like it didn't matter what I did. I was going to lose him either way.
Well, Molly, and I want to give Rachel a chance to also talk, but I feel like you are incredibly empathetic and I worry that you're taking on too much of his feelings and not honoring your own. My mom gave me great advice, which I never took for, well, I didn't take it for a long time, but she said, always be selfish in love. And I never really even understood what that meant for a very long time. But what I now understand that it means is that you really have to, in order to love somebody properly and to be in a great relationship, you have to put your feelings first. And I don't like it that this guy, when you were trying to be honest and having an open communication with him, that he got really hurt and it made you feel guilty. That's a big red flag to me. Anyway, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the bad guy in this situation, I guess, is because I've been in that situation. I had a friend who was like really into me, and it's not your fault. I know it may seem like you're the bad guy, but I just read a book called Unrequited, which is about unrequited obsessive love and how society only gives the pursuers an acceptable template. There's no template for rejectors. But the fact is, all of us have to be the rejector at some point, and that doesn't make us bad people. And I think that due to just the situation, which isn't your fault, you're probably the healthiest thing for you to do is to just take a step back and try to not hang out with this guy as much in the next couple weeks, couple months. If you truly don't want to date him, he needs distance from
you. Yeah, because the truth is, sadly, you know, Sim and I talk a lot about, having a friendship that, you know, is sort of special because we're both heterosexual, and we talk a lot about, like, the idea of, like, is it unique that men and women can have friendships and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think that I think in this case, you just have to protect yourself. I hate it that I just said protect again, but I mean it.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, from a guy's standpoint, I'm thinking right now, if
she's gonna miss his friendship, but
he's going to be crushed. And here's the thing: I feel like unless she completely tells him how she really feels, she has to crush him. You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the only way it's ever going to get through to him. Yeah. Otherwise, he's always going to hang on to that little, like, maybe.
Well, he'll say, you just need time. If you're like, I just need time.
Yeah.
Then, I mean, it's the same thing women do, where it's like you hang on to that one morsel of hope.
Yeah. Right.
And my dad always told me the nicest thing you can do is tell a guy up front you're not interested. Mm-hmm. And so he can move on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Molly, I will say, though, I don't like it that he kind of freaked out. So I feel like if you do have this conversation, in my opinion, I would advise doing it like on an email. I wouldn't necessarily advise like going to meet for a drink. Because I just don't think that there are only a few things in life that deserve like a FaceTime contact. And I'm not quite sure that he, from his past behavior, that he necessarily deserves this. So I'm just saying this is a way to protect yourself from any, like, confrontation and also getting manipulated into a deeper scenario. Mm.
I don't want to give you the wrong idea, and maybe I should have used different wording. It was nothing like I felt nervous or anything. It was just that you could tell he was visibly hurt. He was avoiding me. And the only fly in the ointment with this plan is that our lives are quite interconnected. We work together. We live in the same building. We have all the same friends. It's kind of tough to just like extract that part of my.
What about like let's say, Molly, you started dating somebody else. Would you feel really odd, like having this new person in your life? Would you feel like, oh my God, what if so and so sees me like walking up to my apartment with?
I feel like if I didn't alert him to the fact that I was seeing somebody, and he found out by some way. Mm-hmm.
It's going to crush him. It will absolutely destroy him.
That's why emails go
absolutely destroy him.
He's hanging on to the hope that he has a chance.
Totally, but listen, but we all get fucking heartbroken in our lives.
Right, but she needs to do that. But she has to do that sooner than later.
Yes.
I'm saying.
But no. But I just don't want you to tell Molly that it's going to destroy him, because yes,
if she doesn't have that talk with him and she starts dating some other guy,
right. Yes, sorry, Sim. I'm sorry.
But that's what email's good about, is a line in the sand without, because when you're face to face, feeling naturally bad because you're empathetic might cause you to be like, well, maybe someday, you know, and you don't want to say that. And so email is just the cleanest way for you to do that. And I know that you work in the same place, but maybe there are little ways you can take a step back even when you're around someone. You know, you can try to limit hanging out one-on-one. When you're at a party, maybe try to gravitate towards some other people. There are little things you can do. It's going to be messy, but ultimately way less messy than dating the guy and then becoming known as a couple among your group of friends and then having to break up.
Right.
And Molly, here's a weird bit of advice that's really specific, though. If you can, because I'm guilty of this all the time, of laughing too much, like out of pleasing some, you know what I mean? Like, even if I don't find something that funny. So when you interact with him at your workplace and he tries to make a joke, don't laugh. Right?
But here's the thing. How could she maintain a friendship, though?
Okay.
Because here's what you're doing.
No, she can't.
But she works with him.
They're close friends.
So you're telling me that there's no way that they could ever be friends at this point.
No,
they can be friends after a while. I mean,
after they get married and have kids.
I have a friend who liked me for a long time, and I didn't like him, and it passes. I mean, if you just draw that line.
It passes when he got another girlfriend, right? That's when it passed.
Very true.
So he needs to start dating someone seriously for this to be okay.
That's good, yep.
And then when he starts dating someone, and if you have feelings for him,
and then call us back. We'll give you whole new horrible advice.
I mean, I have encouraged him in the past that he should explore his options, like even after he had, you know, told me he had feelings for me, that he doesn't really date a lot of people. So I had mentioned to him, you know, it would be a good idea to go out on a couple of dates and figure out what you like. And, you know, maybe you'll find that, like, you're holding on to an idea of something and it's not really what you think it is. But he was also just very adamant that he knew what he wanted and he wasn't interested in just dating for the sake of dating.
So wait, but Molly, is there anything? I'm sure he's a wonderful, wonderful person, and I know that you're going to miss him as a friend if you decide to go forward with creating a distance. But is there anything in your gut that makes you feel like a little bit nervous? It seems to me what I'm hearing is that he's pretty possessive over you, without being in a relationship with you, and that makes me a little bit nervous.
No, nothing makes me nervous about the relationship. It's, you know, I know that we just get along. We have similar personalities. It seems like a natural fit, but I know for me and where I am in my life right now, what he can offer me is not what I want or need. I don't want to be in a serious relationship. I don't want to risk the friendships and the life that I've created for myself. And that's really tough, but that's ultimately what I know I have to do. Yeah, it's just the thought of losing the friendship is crushing.
Then you have to say no, never, never. And he'll get over it. It'll take time, but he'll get over it.
And you know what? And Molly, you're going to make a shit ton of amazing friends in your life. And if he doesn't get over it, like this is the test for him. This is the test. This is like when people, you know, show their true colors. Wait, Rachel, this is when you were supposed to back me up because you're the singer. True colors. That's the only lyric I know. That's isn't it? That's my love.
Shining through.
So don't be afraid. Oh.
You miss Shining Through, True Color Shining. All right.
Anyway.
I'm ashamed that I don't know any more lyrics to that song.
I'm going
to
make you sing later. But Molly, but truly, like, this is a test for him. It's a test for you. And I think that you have to be strong here, you know? And if he can't handle you not wanting to be in a relationship with you, then he doesn't deserve to be your friend, because that's not a good friend.
Molly, for him to move on and for you to move on, you're going to have to tell him that it's not going to work out romantically. Do it in the best way you can so it doesn't completely crush him, but it has to be done, and he's going to have to do it.
And I would totally do it over email.
Hmm.
Or post it on your Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah.
And tag us.
Molly, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, Molly, thank you. Let us know. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. I love your podcast. I listen to it all the time. Thank you so much for your advice. It is certainly not unqualified.
Oh my God. Aww. Well, Molly, thank you so much for listening to us babble on, and I love you, and I know that all of these listeners love you, and I know that, you know, I know that things are going to be okay, and if this dude doesn't quite get it, that's his problem.
Good night, Molly.
We love you, Molly.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, Rachel.
Yeah.
What's your favorite musical?
Assassins.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's a musical about every person who's assassinated or tried to assassinate a president.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a kind of thematically about the American dream.
Who's
it's
your
really
favorite
dark.
One?
My favorite assassin?
Yeah.
In the musical, because I can't speak to them as people, I really like the character of Charles Gâteau is very interesting, who assassinated Garfield because he was kind of an insane person who thought he was going to be the ambassador to France.
Talk about delusion. It's like maybe Borneo, fine, but not France. You don't get that shit without like really climbing some ladders.
He
right?
was delusional. There's a great song with him walking up to be hung. It's a great song. It's a dark show. Real's dark. Real's dark.
What about the guy who tried to assassinate Reagan?
Yeah, it's Hinckley.
Hinckley.
Because of Jodie Foster. He has a song that's a duet with Squeaky Fromm, who tried to assassinate Gerald Ford, called Unworthy of Your Love.
And is Squeaky still alive?
Yes. She's about to get out of prison, I think.
No, she will not get paroled.
I don't know. I think she's about to get out. My grandparents saw her in a prison play years ago. It's the kind of thing my grandparents would do. They would go to prisons and watch plays.
And was she like, once upon a time.
It was also children's theater I like.
I was just trying to be squeaky. Can you be squeaky?
Once upon a time.
That was a better squeaky than what I did. All right, Sim's getting impatient. Look at him.
Wait, why do you think I'm getting impatient?
Because you totally are.
Such bullshit.
Wait,
I hate
Amy,
this.
Come on. You have my back on this.
By the way, I'm doing better, right?
Like, she does not have my back.
There were times where I was just like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
How long have you guys been
dating? That
was
good.
15 months.
Oh.
Wow, I didn't know that. 15? That's awesome. I knew it was over a year. I didn't know exactly.
So it's serious.
Amy's the best.
Oh, of course. Oh, wait, he said you just moved in, you combined dogs. He showed me a picture of your combined
dogs. Yeah, we did combine dogs.
5 months ago, right?
I know, and our dogs love each other.
That's great.
It's incredible. It really is amazing.
I love her so much. I don't know. I'm so happy to have Amy in my
life. And she's making our country proud.
A true American.
All right. We have one more call. Can we get to it?
Yeah.
All right. We're calling Melissa. And Melissa is in Northern California, and she's 24.
Did you guys still feel a little bit weird? Can we talk about this later?
About the scariness of the friend?
Hello?
Hi.
Melissa.
Hi,
Melissa. Hey. Melissa.
Hi.
Anna just said hi to you.
Hi.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Melissa.
Anna, tell Melissa who's here.
Oh, we've got Rachel Bloom here. She is the star of My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's amazing. She's funny. She's brilliant. She's beautiful. She's giving me super sexy eyes right now. Please stop doing that. I am married.
Hi, Rachel Bloom. Oh my gosh, I have to tell you, I love Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I mean, thank you for representing my, or thanks for letting representation of my people be there. I'm Filipino, so.
Oh my God. Well, okay, we instantly bond. See, I feel now towards Filipino people the way that I feel about meeting fellow Jews. There's like a dog whistle connection there. So now I'm really excited. I'm really excited.
Oh, this is great. I'm so happy. Look at that. I had no idea, by the way. It just worked out.
Melissa, are you first generation, second generation?
I'm very Filipino. I'm actually from the Philippines. I moved 6 years ago. So.
Oh, wow. And you're in North... actually, Vinny was on my show. He grew up in Daly City.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And
oh,
which
how
I,
funny.
Which I know is in Northern California and very heavily Filipino.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of Filipinos here. Definitely feel at home in San Francisco.
Yes. So that's where he grew up. Anyway.
So tell us what's bothering you about one of your best friends.
So I have a friend who we've been friends for a very long time, and she's always had this, you know, she's a very good friend. Like, whenever I need her, she shows up, you know, like, she always remembers my birthday, things like that, you know. But she and my other friend, like, we've always had a problem with her where she never listens to us. She will have a three-hour, three-way call, and it'll be just her talking with us going, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And anytime we try to, you know, interject, she always just says, anyway, and takes it right back to her. And that was very, you know, we found it funny in high school, but we're, you know, becoming adults now. And me and my other friend were talking about how it's getting a little bit annoying now. And we kind of feel like we're wondering, like, is it too late to confront her? You know, because we feel like it's almost our fault because we created a monster where she just keeps doing it, and she barely notices. She doesn't notice that no one is listening, or, you know, that we didn't get to talk the whole time, or that when we talk, she's not listening or responding. So,
I feel like you're describing me.
No.
That's how narcissistic I am. I'm so insecure.
True narcissists never say that. That's the thing is if you're
I'm
like this
a complicated narcissist. But let me ask you this though, Melissa. Does she combine your friend with a know-it-all quality? Like, if you say something like, I've always wanted to, I don't know, go through the Panama Canal, and she says something like, I've been through the Panama Canal, and it's not that great.
It's kind of her. Like, she's always like, you know, she has specifically said before, like, I just wish everyone would let me help, you know, everyone would let me help them, because I know how to help them.
So here's my important question, because I know the type of person you're talking about. What if I just said her name right? I was like, I know exactly who. No. What is the percentage of time when you're hanging out or talking to this person that you are getting joy, and the percentage of time you're annoyed?
That's a good question. I like that.
I like it.
So since I moved from the Philippines, I feel like when I feel like it's now turned to 80% annoyed, 20% like it's acceptable. Like, it's definitely changed over the years. Like,
oh, so
like
she's back in the Philippines. Sorry.
Oh yes. Like, we got just it. Do like a tour. We talk 2 or 3 times a week. And my other friend who was in our group, she's still back home, and she kind of deals with it like 100. She's getting to like 100% annoyed lately. And she was so excited to hear that, you know, that I was going to ask you guys, because we've been clueless. We don't know what to do about it.
I feel like, Melissa, your friend might be really jealous. Because in my experience, the friends that I've had that are sort of, that, you know, whatever, talk a lot and are kind of know-it-alls, are feel threatened by whatever positive things are happening in my life. And so I think... take that into consideration. I have literally had to sit a friend down and tell her that I was breaking up with her. I needed a friendship break, is what I said. It was really hard and awful. It felt like breaking up with a boyfriend. But now we're friends again, and we have a really, really strong friendship, and it's better than before because we sort of rechecked ourselves. And with like a little distance, and who knows what, why your friend has a lack of curiosity about your life. I strongly believe that tendency, really, like I said earlier, comes from jealousy. She has to prove to you and your other friend that she's doing stuff of importance, that her life is exciting and worthwhile or whatever. But I think that what she's really saying is like, please love me. I'm jealous of you.
I think that the type of thing you're describing is just someone's personality. And that can change. I've been in situations with friends where we've annoyed each other. And I had one friend who we took a break and now he's back to being like my best friend. And you can ask this person, can you listen more? But at the end of the day, you can't really change someone's personality. And it sounds like she's in an immature place. Dare I say, kind of stunted to still where you guys were in high school? Because it sounds like you and your other friend have moved on and you're maturing and she's kind of still the same she was when she was, you know, 16, 17. So I think you can try one conversation of talking to her and being like, you need to listen more. But if she doesn't get it, it might just be a time to subtly take a step back, because you can't change people's personalities. And sometimes friendships aren't meant to last forever.
That's so true. And we put so much pressure on ourselves as women, I think, to have a lifelong friendship.
My husband has so many lifelong friendships, and it used to make me really insecure, because he's friends with people he's known since he was 5, 6, but they're really cool people. And the people that I've known since I was young, for the most part, I don't connect with or haven't stayed in contact with. And it's okay to move on.
It is. Because you know what? That's growth. And when you find yourself not having as much in common with people, and the only thing you have in common is your hometown or, you know, the restaurant you liked or, you know, whatever, your high school mascot or whatever, sometimes that's just not enough. And there's too many other things going on, too many other people to talk to. And that's okay. That's okay. We shouldn't feel guilty about that at all.
And I'm sure there's a subconscious part of her deep down that is catching the vibe and knows that you guys aren't listening to her, and maybe is even talking more to overcompensate for the weirdness. Like, chances are the person knows there's something off. And so it's doing her a service to also talk to her and then maybe take a step back. It helps everyone.
Yeah. But the actual physical thing of saying something like physical, but saying to your friend, here's the thing, is what does Melissa actually say to her friend? Like, mm-hmm. Can I?
That's totally what I'm wondering too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like,
sure. And I'll say that she's very sensitive. Like,
sure.
When we hear her complain about other people and they're just saying normal things, like normal criticisms, like, oh, you know, that wasn't very nice. She will hold that to forever.
Right.
Like, and but we've heard her talk about it.
You can't coddle her.
What would you say, Anna? This is like, what would you say?
I would say, honey, I love you so much and I miss you so much. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on right now in my life. I feel like our conversations are one-sided at this point. I'd like to take a couple months break. I'd like to take a couple months off.
You're saying seriously, like a break, like a real break.
Yeah, 2 months. Can I call you, you know, in 2 months? I love you.
Well, please, she's know how much I love knowing you. That she's very sensitive.
Like, yeah, how, maybe just like, give her a... Maybe give her a... Do you want to... Should she give her one
this
chance?
The problem, though, is that we have... Like, sensitive people... We're all fucking sensitive. You know what I mean? So you have
right.
to mm-hmm. give people the chance to rise to the occasion. Is this person going to...
Rise to the occasion, but Melissa, have you given her any warnings? Like, does she probably, this is going to come out of the blue. Don't forget. This is not going to be like rise to the occasion. This is going to be completely out of the blue for Melissa's friend, right? Am I wrong about this, Melissa?
But
you're totally right. It's like not going to be anything that's changed. It's not like, oh yeah, this is different now. She's kind of just the same. And then
it's her personality. I mean, you can't really give notes on someone's personality. If you truly want to be sensitive, you can just be like, hey, I actually just don't have time. If you're talking to her 2-3 times a week,
yeah,
that's a lot.
Like,
a
you
lot.
Can just say like, hey, I
talk to people like once every 4 months.
There is something, if your fundamental problem is with her personality, which it sounds like it is, there is something to telling just a little bit of a white lie, being like, hey, you know, things have gotten so busy. I think I just need to scale back for now, just on the conversations, because there's so much going on, you know, in my life here.
That's way better advice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just depends on the situation, but if it's not like a recent thing, you can't give a note on if a sensitive person giving a note
but
on their
we're
personality.
All sensitive,
no,
though.
We're all sensitive, but there's just nothing. This person's not going to suddenly. Well, if you don't care about being friends with this person again, there is something
then
just
be
being
cool.
like
me.
You're basically giving this person a note, and it's not. It's a
you're
note
giving
that,
them a note on their fundamental
yeah,
personality.
Yeah, exactly, and they're not going to take it well.
And they're not going to take it well. It might help her in the long run.
Right.
It just might take her a,
right.
a
but
while.
Right, but from a really close friend, they're not going to take it well.
They're not going to take it well, but then that's when you sort of lick your wounds, you assess some shit, and then you like decide, like, you know what, I realized that I wasn't listening to my friend Melissa, who's, you know, I miss, and I mm-hmm. but and I wasn't like inquiring about her life, and maybe that hurt her feelings.
I mean, maybe the sensitive way is to be like, hey, so we love you have such a big personality, and usually like in the past we love listening to you, but so much is going on in our lives right now. Is there some way we could make the conversations just a little more equal and maybe give that to her? That way it's like...
I love that idea, but I wouldn't include the friend. Then she's going to feel again.
Oh, that it's just you. Right. That it's like so much is going on in my life recently. I'm just starting to realize that by default, we all end up talking about you. So I would love for this to be more of a give and take. That would be the way to do it, maybe. Make it sound semi-recent.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so great, actually.
You're also in like the weird position of having a three-way friendship, which with women is very tricky, mm-hmm. at least in my experience. But it is. It's tricky because you know, everyone's sort of vying for a first place position, which is why I hate bridesmaids, by the way. That's mm-hmm. another topic. But so just keep in mind that your friend is probably feeling really, really threatened by your friendship with your other friend. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know your friend. If your friend's not going to respond to, you know, you yeah. need to listen to us more, and if it's all of it's going to do is just make her upset, then the white lie might be the best approach.
I totally agree.
You know your friend better than...
Let's white lie it. Let's fucking white lie.
But, you know, it could change her life. You never know. But, again, I don't know this person.
But do you feel like this friend is capable of changing? Is she able to give you what you want out of a friendship?
You know, that's what makes me feel like me and my friend have debated about this forever, because she's so good at so many other aspects of friendship. Mm. Like, she's so, like, you know, for example, like, I'll say, you know, oh my gosh, I'm having a hard time with this. She will show up and she'll be there with brownies, or, you know, or she's the only friend who's visited me so far from that group of friends, you know, from the Philippines. And, you know, and we always have a good time and we'll do things. But then something about one-on-one conversations. And in a group, by the way, she's great in a group. You won't notice that she doesn't talk about herself as much in a group or with people that she's not familiar with.
She's scared of losing you.
Yeah.
She misses you.
But if she's always been kind of annoying, it sounds like she's always been kind of just this personality type. Yeah, it might just be like,
totally.
Hey, it might just be the thing of like, hey, I just really can't talk 2-3 times a week. We just need to scale back. I'm so sorry.
What if Melissa said to her, I love you so much. I've been noticing in our conversations, you do a lot of the talking, and sometimes it hurts my feelings that you don't ask me what's going on. I miss you. I love you. Will you ask me what's going on in my life?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I would say. But can women say that to other women? I have no idea.
I think
idea.
So. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the question of will it help?
It's clearly though that Melissa that this your friend misses you. If she misses you and she loves you, and I really understand now what you're saying when you talk about her being sensitive, because I think that she's jealous and she's felt a loss, and so if you can articulate your feelings honestly and accurately and with kindness and love, I think that'll be her test. If she hears it, that's amazing. And you guys will have a wonderful friendship for a lifetime. If she doesn't hear it, there's going to be some bumpy patches.
But that's such a good point. I mean, they tell you that when you're dealing with, you know, abusive spouses or parents, that all you can control is your own boundaries. You can't control how they're going to react. And so what matters now is your boundaries and your sense of well-being and the fact that this person isn't bringing you joy, and life's too short for this person, mm-hmm. for a friend to bring you like annoyance and misery and drama. And so whatever you need to do to establish your own boundaries is like the most important thing, because you can't control how she's going to feel.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yep. No, that's so true.
Melissa, we have to go.
Hey, Melissa.
Okay. Well, thank you
thank
so much.
Thank you so much.
I just
want to
say I've been a big fan, Anna, because I like always, like my friends and I, best friend and I, we would quote House Bunny all the time. Like every time I see Mahi Mahi or a manhole. So thank you so much. This is so cool.
All right. Well, hey, Melissa, we love you. And thank you so much for asking us for our unqualified advice. And please let us know.
Yeah, let us know how it goes. Let us know what you decide to do.
But you know what? I've got a funny feeling that you've got a lot of love in your heart. And I think this friend is missing you. Mm. That's my final stuff.
Yeah.
All right. I love you. Bye, Melissa.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.
Before we wrap it up, I want to talk about the second season of...
Are you scared to do your finger?
I'm going to do it after. But okay, we have to talk okay. about the second season, which is coming up, of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah.
I told you this earlier, and Amy went into the ladies' room or the bathroom, but I... What are you doing?
Just adjusting myself.
Oh, okay, I thought you wrote me a note.
Jesus.
But do you want to do I had never script? Seen your show until last night.
Right.
I decided to watch. Okay, I'll watch the pilot and see how it is. And because I needed to watch the pilot at
it's
least.
It's so good.
Thank you.
I watched 4 episodes in a row, and this is around like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. And I would have watched more if I wasn't falling asleep.
Almost 4 hours of your time.
This is a person
I'm going to go back
or Game of Thrones.
Wow.
I'm going to go back and watch all of the episodes because it blew me away.
Oh, and you left off at
Okay, she's back now. Okay,
hi.
So Amy's been a fan for a long time.
And Thank you, Amy.
And she told me, you're going to like it. You're really, I'm like, I'm not going to like this show. I'm not going to watch this show. There's no way in hell I don't watch much TV. I watch sports and there's a few shows like Silicon Valley, but like
Yeah, it's so weird. Yeah. Look, people are turned off by the name. The name in our heads was always meant to
be. The name turns me on.
The name was always meant to be deconstructed from like the point of view of a woman. And so for whatever reason, like it turns people off. But
it really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the whole thing.
Okay, but it's you know what?
It's funny.
But I knew it was a female centric show,
and
sure, and I didn't think I was gonna like it. But I gotta tell you, I was laughing my ass off. And what did I keep saying, Amy? I said like, okay, I thought I was gonna be done after the first episode, but I ended up staying to watch every other.
You just finished the Taco Festival episode.
I finished we're past that. Yeah.
What about the Oregon Fire?
That's the season. The Oregon bringing the coffee pot and starting a fire. You're past that.
So I don't know what happens.
Watched more than 4.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go back and watch some more. I love, dear listeners, the show is fucking hysterical.
Thank you.
It is really fucking great.
Thank you.
And you're not only, you're a subtle, brilliant actress that has these, you have these unbelievable, also like you have this vocal quality. I wish I knew what that was like. But the blending in from sort of, because it's hard to straddle that world between the idea of sort of, you know, big, I don't know, surreal moments.
Sure.
And human moments that feel like, oh, that's very relatable. But you do it brilliantly.
Thank you. That means so much, especially coming from you and you guys. Thank you.
When is the second season coming out?
It comes out this Friday, October 21st.
Ooh.
So
this is really exciting.
Yeah, it's a pretty big, it's a lot happens.
So for everyone that has not seen the first, I'm sure most people have seen the first season. I know Amy has seen the first season. Amy loves it. She's been trying to get me to see this. I can't believe it's taking me this long, but it's incredible. It's on Netflix, so anyone can watch the first season now. All 18 episodes from the first season are on Netflix.
Well, it's on CW normally, So I don't really get to work with
Netflix. It's not a Netflix show.
Ever since it got on Netflix, especially in the UK, people just assume it's a Netflix show.
That's how I've been watching it. Okay.
Which adds, gives us
sexiness. Yes.
No, but we're on the CW here. And so it's broadcast. So Channel 5 here, or Channel, it's usually like Channel 5 or 9, I think.
Let's wrap it up now.
Bunch of boobies and butts.
Boobies and butts and boobies and butts, and Sim is swirling his finger around. Boobies and butts and a boobies and butts. Thank you all. Oh, we love you. Good
Wait. Oh. Hold on.
What?
Let's thank our guests for being here.
Hey, Rachel Bloom, thank you so much. I'm sorry I was so rude.
What?
I got consumed with the boobies and the butts.
You're like the least rude person I've ever met. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me into your home and giving me this LaCroix. Or is it LaCroix?
I don't know.
I
want to say LaCroix too.
But everyone says it's LaCroix, which makes no sense.
We talked about this with Dax Shepard. We have no idea. No clue.
That's a very impressive thing to say. I talked about this with Dax Shepard.
No, but it wasn't like name droppy.
It's because his you have a podcast.
Exactly.
Where you interview
the
people.
Same conversation happened. Yeah, exactly.
That's just a great LA thing. It's like, stupid. I was talking with Dax Shepard the other day.
It sounded so name droppy and it sounds so douchey.
No, but you host a podcast where you literally talk to names.
God damn it. I was talking to Chris yesterday.
I was about to be like Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
So named
my husband. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy and Jurassic World. And
I hope that you just drop his IMDb whenever you introduce.
But I was telling him, I was like, honey, oh my God, why the fuck won't our steam shower work? I mean, like, it says to push the button, but how long do I have to push it for? And he was like, babe, you got to push it for 2 seconds. And I was like, fuck. Is this shit really happening? So then I ended up pushing it for 2 seconds, and sure enough, it worked. It's like, I don't know.
That's
like,
such a great story, Anna. It had a real beginning, middle, and end to it.
Turns out I got clean.
Follow us on Unqualified on Twitter and Facebook, and on what's the other one? Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram.
Yeah, we're big on Instagram. And Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, season two premiere is when is it again?
Friday, October 21st.
Friday, 9 October PM. 21st. And thank you
so much, Rachel Bloom.
My pleasure.
Wait, we didn't get you to sing. Hey, wait, do you know that song, Take Me Back to Manhattan, from Anything Goes?
Oh.
Come on.
Wait, why am I blanking on it right now?
Take me back to New York.
Oh, see.
Wait, will you give us at least like a little bit of a jingle from one of your favorite musicals?
Sure.
Well, like, here, we'll end it with that, all right?
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, this is the song from Assassins that I like when the guy's walking up the cakewalk to be hung. Oh, look on the bright side, look on the bright side, look on the bright side of the Lord. This is your golden opportunity. He is the mantle, you his sword.
That was amazing. Yes. Good night, everyone.